Hour number three on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you, live here at Bridgestone Arena. Maple Leafs and Predators tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Just a one game. It's not even a home stand. It's just a home game. Stand means, implies you're going to be here for a while. Predators will hit the road right after tonight's game. They will be up in Minnesota and Winnipeg over the weekend. We say hello to Matt Miller, who is Bleacher Report's NFL draft expert on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He joins us. He's also the host of Stick to Football. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. You just missed me. I was just in Nashville last week.
Oh, really? For what?
Just to get away, just to have a nice little break before the craziness of draft season. So I do that every spring. I load up with a couple buddies, and we go act like idiots for a couple days. And that's a great spot to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, and our city loves to host people to have those type of weekends. And so I hope you had a good time.
Absolutely did.
If you were the Cleveland Browns or somebody at the very top, it is interesting, Matt, how we've all changed. Well, not we all. I'm just going to say NFL teams seem to be singing a different tune these days after the likes of Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott and then Leonard Fournette, because it looked like running backs were dinosaurs, right? They were a dying breed. But now all of a sudden there's this resurgence. So now everybody's back to falling in love with these premier running backs. If you're a team at the top, do you take Barkley at the top? Are you willing to risk the first or second pick to take a running back?
You know, I'm not, and I think I would be if I had a quarterback. So I think that, like, the Browns at one should draft a quarterback. Now at four, it's a really different conversation because you would have your quarterback at that point, ideally. I think the Giants are an interesting team because of the existence of Eli Manning. They also have a quarterback they drafted in the third round last year in Davis Webb. So they kind of have it set up a little bit at the quarterback position where they could go running back. But I do think that positional value is still a very real thing. So, you know, we see the Giants today trade Jason Pierre-Paul. They might just take Bradley Chubb from NC State and just, you know, kind of go that old school route of getting big guys on the lines or a quarterback with those early picks. So Saquon's an amazing prospect. I mean, he's as clean as they come on and off the field, but it's that positional value and the importance of quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle, probably why, you know, he might be the fourth or sixth pick when it, you know, all comes down to it in April.
There's already been so much quarterback movement, and some of these guys were starters, and I don't know if they anticipate on being starters in their new homes or not, but some interesting signings from teams that you had them shoot as shoe-ins to take a quarterback in the draft, and that still may be the case. So my question to you, Matt, is do they not trust this class? Why do you think teams that we all anticipate at the top drafting what they think is going to be their franchise quarterback, still making significant quarterback signings in the free agency period? What did that tell you?
Well, I think it goes team by team. I do think that these quarterbacks are valued in this draft, but they're all looked at as, like, everyone wants that you know, Kansas City Chiefs thing right now of you want the Alex Smith to draft Pat Mahomes. And so I think, like, Cleveland trading for Tyrod Taylor, giving up a third-round pick for a one-year rental, basically, but you get a veteran quarterback who's going to win you some games, which they need to do. They've had one win in 2 years, so they need to get some points on the board. He'll allow them some breathing room to do that while, excuse me, also developing their quarterback in the future. You know, I think it's the same thing with the Jets. They signed Josh McCown, they signed Teddy Bridgewater, but they also at the same time trade up to get the third pick in the draft, which tells me they're going to draft a quarterback at that spot. You know, Denver, they go get Case Keenum, but they also are a favorite to draft a quarterback. So a lot of these teams are being aggressive in signing free agents, but at the same time, these free agents they're signing aren't, you know, it's not like they went and got Kirk Cousins or Drew Brees. They're more looked at as stopgap type players.
Matt Miller on the line with us, Bleacher Report NFL draft expert. It's been a while, and it's refreshing, quite honestly, Matt, for us to actually be talking about the Titans taking a pick late in the first round. I feel like we've been talking about the Titans having a top five pick for many, many years now. They picked 25. What do you think? What do you anticipate being there? Is there still good value at 25 in your opinion?
You know, 25 is a tough spot because, you know, you guys probably know most NFL teams don't have 32 first-round grades. You know, it's usually 15, 16, maybe 17. So when it comes down to it, the Titans are in a spot where there is going to be a little bit of a drop-off. I think the good news is the depth of those players that you would consider round two is actually pretty good this year. They've also been able to be just somewhat aggressive in free agency, getting Malcolm Butler. I think that fills a gigantic need for them. So they're still in a good spot, especially with the needs of the team, whether you view it as D-line, outside linebacker, maybe another receiver is going to be a need at some point. Those are all pretty good positional values when you start to look at pick 25 that, you know, you are in a pretty good spot to get an impact front seven defender. Or if, I mean, it might be a little early to go back to wide receiver after drafting Corey Davis at five last year, but it is still a need, especially for depth. So that's also a spot where we're going to see that second-tier wide receiver start to become valuable.
How do you value Lamar Jackson? What do you see him as? How high should he go? Will he go in the first? And what do you see his future as?
No, I view him as a quarterback. I'm glad we kind of, as a national media, are moving past that, you know, and it's like, okay, this guy's a quarterback. Let's talk about his strengths and weaknesses there. I see him as probably an early second-round pick, you know, to those teams that miss out on a quarterback in round one, like Arizona, or teams that start to need a quarterback of the future, you know, like the Chargers, the Ravens, maybe even the Steelers. Those are teams that I would look at as a would be in play for him if the draft goes like we expect and the Bills are able to trade up and get a quarterback. Otherwise, he could be in play for them in round two. But, you know, I like his game a lot. He's a rare prospect. I've been doing this since 2011, and I've never seen anyone like him who has that athleticism, a super quick release as a passer. Well, at the same time, he has some deficiencies that are a little scary. You know, his mechanics are really poor. His accuracy at times was very spotty on what I would call NFL-type throws, you know, outside the hashes, up the seam. I think those were the places he struggled. And, you know, he was able to make some passing windows happen with his feet. And given his frame, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that very long in the NFL. So he's a challenging guy to evaluate. I feel like he's going to be hit or miss, which is why I have him in round two. I know there are a lot of people that have said he's the best quarterback in the draft. I know there are other people who say you should play receiver. So it's definitely a polarizing opinion when it comes to him.
Matt, just taking a look at a couple of dynamics here that are maybe tougher to track. I'm curious what you think of – let's take the Browns for the most obvious example, but there's been a lot of rumors over the years of, you know, I'm not sure if I'm a quarterback, I want to go to Cleveland. They've had so much trouble over the years. They've turned over all kinds of quarterbacks. If you're Cleveland, how would you try to quantify that factor, especially with some of the candidates that are out there? How much would you try to – would you even take a guy that was lower on your board slightly in exchange for a guy that enthusiastically wants the challenge of turning them around?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and it is something that they have to be aware of. You know, I know that Adam Schefter said at one point Josh Rosen didn't want to play in Cleveland, and then Rosen had to come out and say, like, hey, I'll play anywhere. I really don't care. But that has to factor into it. And I think when you are a franchise that in your rebirth has always been bad, I mean, we're almost on 20 years of this team being the worst in the NFL, you have to find a quarterback who has that attitude of, I'm going to come in here and turn this around, while at the same time being careful that you don't want a lightning rod type quarterback like Johnny Manziel was, who maybe is going to generate some attention negatively or attention off the field. I would say that probably puts guys like Sam Darnold or Josh Allen more in play for them just because of that, you know, kind of quiet all football demeanor that they bring to the table. You know, I do like Josh Rosen and I do like Baker Mayfield, but you know, if the Browns have a rough stretch, you don't want Baker Mayfield grabbing his crotch yelling across the field at the Baltimore Ravens, and you don't want Josh Rosen, you know, tweeting about the president when he should be studying his playbook. And these are, like, concerns that I've heard from teams. I'm not just making this stuff up on the fly. So it is something that you really have to be aware of, especially when you're – and I would say it's the same thing for the New York Jets, because the media market they're in, both of those teams drafting in the top three have to be – really aware of the personality that they're drafting on top of the type of player they're going to get.
Going back to the Titans, let's take a quarterback question on the bottom half. Let's say if you are looking for maybe a quarterback to start grooming as a backup. We're looking at the market right now. We've been following this now for a few weeks, trying to figure out who the next backup will be to Marcus Mariota. But it would be nice if you could sort of groom a backup to have ready to go down the road, even though you know Mariota is the guy you're going to commit to for the long term. How would you approach that in the draft? And in this particular draft, are there names that come to mind?
Yeah, you know, I think you can look at someone like Kyle Laletta from Richmond, depending on where he kind of lands and where we see his value. You know, if he ends up overvalued and is a third-round pick, that obviously changes things. But someone who has some athleticism, I think that, you know, makes it difficult because of Mariota's skill set as a, not necessarily a runner, but as a mobile guy. And I think in this offense, we're going to see him continue to be, you know, with Matt LaFleur, we're going to see more spread elements like they used in Los Angeles last year with the Rams and try to get him some windows to make plays. So you almost have to look for a guy who has been not in the exact same offense, but maybe something similar. So that narrows the list down even more. You know, maybe like a Riley Ferguson from Memphis would be someone that would be, you know, groomable as a quarterback two type of player. Tanner Lee from Nebraska is a pretty good athlete with a really big arm, but, you know, had wild, wild accuracy problems in college. So it is more difficult, especially in this draft where there's, you know, there's seven quarterbacks that people really like, and they're probably going to go in the first, you know, 75 picks. So if you're the Titans, you don't want to draft a backup quarterback too early. It's probably a day three thing. But at that point, the drop off in this year's class is pretty wild.
What about guards? Because that's always a tricky one. Nobody really wants to take the guard early. The Titans look like they have a need at guard. They could certainly bolster. So what does the guard class look like in this year's draft, especially in those rounds where they're going to be more apt to be picked?
Yeah, it's a really good guard class. I mean, even in the first round, you know, Quentin Nelson's going to be a top 10 pick from Notre Dame. Billy Price, who was at Ohio State, has played center and guard. He tore his pec at the combine, but he has a chance to still be a top 45 pick. James Daniels from Iowa should be a first rounder. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia should be a first rounder. But then you even get into round two, guys like Austin Corbett from Nevada, Will Hernandez from UTEP are both solid round two guys. Alex Kappa from Humboldt State is a really, really good round three type player, as is Braden Smith from Auburn. So it's a good year to need offensive guards. And it'll be interesting to see if teams overvalue them a little bit because it is such a good class, or if we see that traditional positional value hold where teams are like, okay, well, let's just, you know, wait, and we'll get a guy like Braden Smith in the third round, and we can plug him in and be a starter. I would say that on day three, those rounds four through seven, there is, a drop-off at that position where, you know, I think last time I looked at my rankings, it goes from, like, Braden Smith in the 80s to all the way down to Wyatt Teller from Virginia Tech in, like, the 150s. So there is a pretty big drop-off.
Let's ask one with a local angle here. Oren Burks is a guy that we saw for a long time at Vanderbilt. Played a pretty unique role, kind of a rover. Sometimes it was hard to tell each week, would you classify him as an outside linebacker or a safety, but he certainly was effective in their system. Where do you see him projecting at the next level?
Yeah, he's a really interesting player. I like him a lot, and like you said, it is, you're watching him sometimes, you're like, okay, where is he going to be this week? I think he projects really well as a weak side type linebacker in the NFL in a more of a 4-3 role. With the league going to so much nickel coverage, it definitely benefits someone like him who has that consistency, or excuse me, that versatility on the back end. So he probably projects as like a round 5 to 6 type player. But I like him a lot. One thing that could hurt him is that, you know, kind of jack of all trades, master of none, where he has been moved around so much that maybe some of the like instincts and, you know, the intricacies of one position haven't been learned. So he's going to have to figure that out a little bit on the go.
What about, real quick, Richie James at Middle Tennessee State? Of course, the Titans already have a guy from MTSU and Kevin Byard. I don't know if Deion Sanders knows that, but they do have a guy from MTSU. What do you think about Richie James?
God, Deion Sanders. God bless him. I like Richie James. He's a little undersized, but he's quick. You know, obviously, guys that size, they're going to have to add play strength. I think it would be really nice. A special teams player, kind of a role player in your wide receiver package, get him on some bubble screens. But I do really, really worry about size, and especially with some of the injuries that he's had. So I have like a round 5 to 6 grade on him. I wouldn't be shocked if he can stay healthy if he outplays that. But, you know, when you look at like playability, he's probably higher than that. When you factor in size and injuries, it starts to push guys down.
Good stuff, Matt, as always. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this, and let us know the next time you're in town.
Will do, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, NFL Draft Expert, at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's really good at what he does. Also the host of Stick to Football. Still laugh at the whole fiance. I still don't believe he knew.
Have we had any comments from Deion since in the fallout?
No.
It was amazing to me that they put that on the lead. You go to ESPN.com. It was like the third or fourth story. I don't know if it was just a slow day. Maybe there's a combination, but it was high on the list.
Well, I mean, you know, that does grab people's attention.
I guess
Deion
so.
Sanders still is a big deal. He still has name value.
I think the T-shirt campaign needs to move forward.
I'm perfectly fine with what Kevin Byer did. Stick up for yourself, young man. You deserve it. You earned it. You had a heck of a season. You deserve the respect, and you know what? He did it in a respectful way. I didn't have a problem with how he talked to Deion Sanders on Twitter. I thought it was done the right way. Don't have a problem with it at all. Good for Kevin Byer, the way I look at it. All right, we'll come back with more. Willie, you've got a word about Lee Company.
Let's tell you what's going on with Lee Company. 567-1000 is the number. We're sitting here at Bridgestone Arena, and when you come into Bridgestone Arena, you might walk past the display that has Nash and a gentleman from Lee Company going through the bathrooms for the plumbing services. Just a comic skit, because it says Lee Company is Nashville's other power play. Well, that's sort of really the idea. The home maintenance plan is something that I talk about a lot because it's worked very well for my family in our house, is they have the annual checkups. Now, I'm not one that wakes up every day, you know, wondering, do I need to go down and check the plumbing, the electrical? That's why Lee Company is great. All four systems, plumbing, electric, heating, and cooling, they'll call you, make the annual checkup. They'll come out and make sure everything's running properly, and they'll make some recommendations if they think something needs to be fixed up. And if you do need it fixed up, you get discounts if you're a member on the home maintenance plan. So do it. 567-1000 or go LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor of Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.